This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of old-time radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from Cavalcade of America. We'll hear their episode from March 25th, 1952, titled Breakfast at Nancy's. After that, it's the Damon Runyon Theater and The Hottest Guy in the World, their episode from February 13th, 1949.
Makers of better things for better living through chemistry presents the Cavalcade of America. Tonight's star, Susan Hayward. Tonight's story, Breakfast at Nancy's.
Hart was a sharp-shooting woman, prime first cousin to old Dan'l Boone. At 200 paces with a Kentucky rifle, she could slug out the eye of a possum or coon. Oh, breakfast at Nancy's, breakfast at Nancy's. Watch out for that there hoe cake, it's plumb full of lead. Look out, Mr. Tory, or you'll wind up dead.
Up in the northeast corner of Georgia, close to the Savannah River and the Carolina line, you'll find Hart County, named for Nancy Hart, cousin to Daniel Boone and kin to General Daniel Morgan, revolutionary hero. Before Hart County owned the courthouse, the Indians had named a little river for Nancy, War Woman Creek. Nancy's story is a legend in Georgia, and like most legends everywhere, her saga has been told in many, many versions. But all the tales of Nancy Hart begin, at least, like this. It's a summer evening about the year 1778, the third year of the Revolution. Nancy Hart, Mrs. Benjamin Hart, that is, Nancy is alone in her husband's farm cabin on the Broad River. Supper's almost ready.
Suki. Oh, Suki. Morgan. You, Morgan. Children, it's supper time.
I'll look for a bite, Mrs. Hart. Hey, Mrs. Hart.
Who's there? Don't come any closer out there. I've got a gun.
It's me, Mrs. Hart. Royston Tolliver. Tony old man Tolliver.
Oh, coming.
I don't care, ma'am. You don't have to bar your door shut in an old friend's face.
Don't I, though?
Yes, reckon you do at that. Can't be too careful.
I'm sorry, Royston. I couldn't see you down the hill. There were things the way they are.
Yes, with things the way they are. That's what I come to see you about. I've been sent to see you. Sort of a committee of one from your old neighbors.
I'm not going to leave this farm, Roy. I'm not going to leave my home.
But why? Everybody's safe up country but you. All your neighbors, all that ain't tourist scoundrels, that is.
And how about you?
Sure. I'm too old for them scallywags to bother with. I don't know nothing they can steal. Now look here, Nancy girl. Your friends have sent me to plead with you.
No, I'm staying here. Right here.
Put your husband to
Benjamin with Colonel Clark's militia where it belongs. And this is where I belong.
But why? It ain't fair to Suki and Morgan.
I need them with me. Mr. Tolliver.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I trust you, Roy?
Why? Folks around here been doing just that for nigh on to 70 years. I'm no barn-burning Tory traitor, if that's what you mean. I guess I'll be getting her off.
Wait a minute. Mr. Tolliver, I'm staying on here for a purpose. I'm not just stubborn.
So?
Colonel Clark up north has to keep in touch somehow with the other troops down to the south of here. We have to send couriers and have to rest somewhere. But this is all Tory country now. There's nobody but Tories left.
Oh, I see. I see. You hide him out, Clark's messenger.
Uh-huh.
You're a brave woman, Nancy.
No. I just plumb hate old Tory.
Like Wilkie Bowman?
Like Wilkie Bowman, especially. Most especially.
He's the head man around here now. Now that all the decent folks are gone, and he swears he'll make you his wife yet. He ain't never give up.
Well, he's a good many years and two children too late. Taste those children. Did you see him?
They were playing down by the old well with that conch shell I gave you, the Florida shell.
They weren't blowing on it. I told Morgan never to...
Oh, sucks. They was just pretending.
Morgan!
Here to come now.
Susie, Morgan, did you hear me calling you?
Oh, we came running, Ma.
Don't you believe him, Mother? He wouldn't put the conch shell back. He made me chase him all over the woodlot.
Morgan Boone, I don't want you to touch that shell again. You hear?
But you taught me to blow it.
Morgan. Yes, Ma. Now say howdy to Mr. Tolliver here.
Howdy, Mr. Tolliver.
Evening, children. Well, ma'am, mum's the word with Royston Tolliver, and do be careful. Well, I'll be moving along.
Nonsense. You're going to stay to supper. Can't I persuade you?
Persuade me? Why, ma'am, anybody in North Georgia who'd refuse an invite to eat Nancy Hart's cooking, why, he'd be as crazy as King George III. Crazy.
Well, set then. And you, Morgan Boone Hart.
Yes, Ma.
You go wash your hands. They're filthy black. Get now. Get.
Hart had a daughter named Sookie, a son named Morgan, then a Passelmore. She sang him to sleep singing Barbary Allen, rocking in a rocker on the pinewood floor. Oh, nightfall at Nancy's, nightfall at Nancy's, all alone by the broad river shore. All alone by the broad river shore.
You think it's the hangman's tree, Ma?
Please, Ma.
Him and his old hangman. Mother, sing Lord Randall.
No, no more now. It's bedtime. It seems to me you two are getting mighty old to be sung to.
But you sing so beautiful, Mother. You said I ought to learn how to.
Aw, Sookie can't sing. No more than an old frog. She sounds like the cockhorn.
Morgan. Like I told you, I want you to leave that conch shell be. Leave it stay right where it is on the shelf of the well, you hear?
Gosh, what's so special about that old horn? I can blow it, but it don't blow good.
Maybe I'll tell you someday soon. But there's one thing I want to tell you now. And over and over. I hope you know it already in your blood and in your bones. You, Morgan.
Oh, gee, what?
You've got good blood in you, son. You're kin to Colonel Dan'l Morgan, him that fought at Quebec and at Saratoga, and to Dan'l Boone, who's gone on west. Never be afraid, son.
I ain't never been, Ma.
Don't you be. And, Sookie...
I'm not afraid, Mother.
Don't you be. There's nothing to be afraid of, ever, if you're good and sensible and not afraid. There are things I might have to ask you to do, Sookie. Hard things. And maybe soon... And the first thing is, if you're upstairs in bed and you hear noises down here, you stay up there. Listen, I call you. Listen. What's that?
Just a hoot owl hooting.
I must be sure. Up to bed with you, children. Run now.
I said run. And stay there.
Good night, Ma. What are you putting all about for?
You get to bed. And remember what I said.
Oh, dear God, let it be Ben this time. Let it be Ben.
Quick, ma'am. Let me inside.
Who are you?
Cliff Elders. Sergeant Cliff Elders. Georgia Militia. Courier for Colonel Clark with dispatches. They're after me, ma'am.
Have you seen my husband? Is he still alive?
Alive and kicking not 3 hours ago. But, ma'am, there's no time for questions. Ben said you had a place to hide me here.
Yes, I do. Ben fixed it up before he left. There's a false bottom to the wood bin by the fireplace there. And a little room below, hollowed out in the dirt. Ben dug it about 4 feet down.
Good. Now, look, I'll have to talk fast. Colonel Clark has sent a scouting party south, sort of a feeler. Your husband's in command. I rode ahead of him to look for any Tory bands. Well, I found one. 3 armed riders up by the fort near Dewey Rose.
Uh-huh.
I outrode them. I doubled back here. tethered my mare in a barn up the road, and I hope she's well hid. Then I started hooting like an owl, as Ben said to do. Great jumping, Jehoshaphat. I thought I'd have to hoot all night before the lamp went out.
You say there's a scouting party in here?
Yes, ma'am.
And Ben?
Your husband planned to camp real close, just above the fork. He wanted to see you, and I can't blame him, but for heaven's sake, ma'am, hide me.
Over here. In with you. Under the floor. You'll have to stand up. It's not big enough to lay down in, but it's air enough.
I see it. Double bottom to it. Thank you, ma'am.
Sergeant Elbert, can you hear me down there?
Just barely, ma'am.
There's horsemen coming up the hill. Stay quiet. Don't move at all.
I'll do that, ma'am. Can't move anyway.
Oh. 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 Who's there?
Never mind who's here. Open up. Open up or we'll blow the hinges off this door.
We'll keep both.
And if it isn't mild, sweetheart, Miss Nancy Morgan.
My name is Nancy Hart. Has been for 12 years. What do you want here?
Why, just a little talk, Nancy, darling, for old time's sake. About two things. Number one, your late husband, Benjamin Hart, traitor to the crown.
Late husband?
I had the pleasure of shooting him through the head just an hour ago.
I don't believe you. Get out. Get out of here.
We haven't begun our little talk, Nancy. Subject number two. A rebel trooper you're concealing in this house. Where is he? We want him. I said we want him. Come in, men.
How many slinking snakes does it take to handle one lone woman?
Why, Nan, only three of us. Ruth Benton. Cut you to the lady, Ruth.
Ruth Benton. Convicted horse thief and jailbird wanted in Carolina across the river.
A pleasure, ma'am. My, Wilkie, she's got a tongue, this one.
I found that out long years ago. Always liked it in her.
Who's your other bootlicker, Bowman?
Oh, him. He's a stranger in these parts, my dear. Name of Sam Saddle. Sad Sam, we're calling him. Make a leg, Samuel.
Yeah.
Well trained, isn't he?
Like an ape. Sheriff, after you too, Sam?
How did she know that?
Her eyes as sharp as her tongue. Now, Nan, darling, the trooper. We know he's here. Where is he? All right. We have plenty of time. How's about a little drink for visiting gentlemen?
Jug's on the table. You saw it, I reckon.
I did. Step right up, friend. For you, Ruth? Sam, you old dog?
There.
And now you, Nancy, love. Surely you'll drink with us for old time's sake?
I will. I'll take a swig or two.
Well, you will? Good. Here, then.
I'll take the first swig to General George Washington in the Continental Congress. So. And the rest of the mug, all of it, Wilkie Bowman, goes right in your face.
Nancy Hart was a true-hearted woman. General Dan Morgan was her kissing king. She hated Tories, she hated redcoats. She hated Wilkie Bowman like she hated sin. Oh, nighttime at Nancy's, moon up at Nancy's. The trooper, he's a-hiding me, the old wood bin. The trooper, he's hidden, but the Tory band is Biden. Watch out there, Nancy. They won't give in.
You're listening to The Cavalcade of America, starring Susan Hayward. Sponsored by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware. Makers of better things for better living through chemistry. We continue the DuPont Cavalcade of America, starring Susan Hayward as Nancy Hart in Breakfast at Nancy's.
Nancy Hart was a home-loving woman. She stayed in her cabin by the Broad River shore. When other folks ran from the barn-burning Tory, she stuck by her guns, of which she had four. Oh, midnight at Nancy's, moon up at Nancy's, and Wilkie Bowman's prowling through the cabin's every door. Looking for the soldier through the cabin's every door.
Well, you three lobster lovers. Well, you've looked everywhere. You've routed my children out of their beds and you've sent them to crying. You've turned my house upside down and there's no trooper here. What now?
We saw him right in here, almost to your door. He's here. Sooner or later, he'll pop out of somewhere. We'll stay the night, dear Nancy, for old time's sake. Hmm?
Once you came a-courting, and now you come a-killing. I don't want you either way.
You haven't lost your looks, Nan, nor your vile temper. Nevertheless, we'll accept the hospitality of the Widow Hart for the night.
Look here, Mr. Bowman, I got an idea.
You, Sam? What is it?
The wood bin there. We ain't never looked in the wood box.
Too obvious.
Obvious?
Better try it, Bowman.
Very well. I'll look. I thought so, nothing. Not even any wood.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bowman.
Nancy here's smarter than a whip. I found that out long ago.
You'll find it out again. And now I'm going up to my children, and I'm going to stay with them. I got a good, strong billet of wood up there, Wilkie Bowman, and the stairway's narrow. And if I hear one footstep creak on that stair, whoever that foot belongs to, he's going to get himself a busted head.
My dear Nancy, you may be sure I shall respect your matronly sensibility, and so shall these gentlemen.
You and your gentlemen can sleep on the floor like the pigs you are. I'll have to clean up tomorrow anyway. Good night. Oh, there's another jug in the cupboard. Drink up. Morgan. Suki. Are you awake?
Yes, Mother.
Sure, Ma.
Have they gone?
No, they won't go, not till after dawn. Children, you remember what I said about not being afraid?
Well, who's scared?
Now listen to me very careful. These bad men will wake up drunk and hungry. They'll want me to get breakfast for them. I'll say I will, but I'll say I need water. I'll send you, Morgan, to get the water. I don't think they'll watch you.
Well, should I get the water?
No. You go down to the well. And then you take that conch horn and blow on it. Keep blowing on it. You can blow on it hard, son.
Oh, I sure can. I can make a big noise.
You make it. And keep on making it. It's a signal to your father. Well, it's a signal to your father, I hope. We've fixed it that way. Now you, Suki.
Yes?
I'll send you out with Morgan. But don't you go down to the well.
No, Mother. What'll I do?
You must be brave, too, Suki. These men have left their rifles against the window on the stable side downstairs. The window's open. Now, when you go out with Morgan, you sneak around by that window. And when you get a chance, you reach in and get one of them guns. Can you do it, Suki?
Yes, Mother. I'll be very quiet.
Good. Bring the gun around to the kitchen and hide behind the door outside there. And if I yell, Suki,
quiet, Mother.
Yes, child. If I yell, Suki, you push open that kitchen door and hand me the gun. Can you do it, Suki?
Yes, Mother.
I think you can. And now let's say our prayers. We need help, and we need it bad. All right, now quiet-like. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Breakfast! Breakfast! You expect me to get you food to eat?
Why, yes, my love of old. Just for the three of us, Ruth here and me and you. And your brats if they're about, of course.
My children are in the kitchen. What happened to that ugly monster?
Sam Saddle? Why, Sad Sam has been much taken in liquor. I'm afraid he went to sleep at last in the wood bin.
In a wood bin?
Yeah. He had it on his mind. Let him rest in peace, but let us eat. I'm told you're a fine cook these days.
I am.
Well, good. I'm hungry. Breakfast, Widow Hart. Breakfast.
I'll need water. I'll send the children for it.
Oh, no, no. Roof here. Be glad to oblige. Roof, get up.
What?
Go get some water for the lady. Come on.
Get your own water. I want to sleep.
The children will get the water. They'll with you. I'll fetch them. Morgan. Suki.
Yo, Benton. Get up.
Hey, what you doing? Quit kicking.
Get up. We got work to do. That messenger from the rebel general is somewhere in this house. Now, we'll eat first, and we'll set fire to the place.
Fire? Fire?
Quiet, you hoop.
The children have gone for the water. We'll have breakfast shortly. Though your Tory friends have left us little in the way of victuals.
You want water?
I see Mr. Benton's pulled himself together.
Well, I'll go get water. Show me where's the water. I'll go get water.
That won't be necessary. Morgan and Suki are used to lending a hand. They're very fine children.
To think they should have lost their dear father. And they're so young, too.
I don't believe you. I've never believed them. Finn's alive. I know it.
Bowman, do you hear a horn?
Ruth, you're drunk. I haven't. I do hear a horn.
In the wood bin. Listen, there's somebody in the wood bin.
Sam Saddle's in there.
He sure isn't a fun.
Suki! Suki, John, now's the time!
Please don't be afraid, Mother. Here it is.
What's this?
Wilkie, she's got a gun.
Stand back, Wilkie Bowman. Get back there, Benton. Don't you go near that fireplace. Stay away from that wood box.
They've got one of our rifles. The brat just before us through the window.
Sergeant Elvis, if you can hear me, stay still. Stay right where you are.
So that's where he was, under the wood box. Clever, clever Nancy. Nancy with my rifle. Nancy pointing my rifle at my heart. You can't pull the trigger, Nancy.
Stand back, Wilkie. I don't want to kill you.
Of course you don't. You love me, Nancy Morgan.
Stand back.
You've always loved me. When both of us were young, you loved me. Give me that gun.
I drove you back then. I'd have none of you. None of you. I clawed your face.
I bear the mark still. Look at it. On my face. In my heart. But you love me. And you'll not pull that trigger. I'll move so quietly. You can't pull the trigger, Nancy. You can't. No, you can't.
He killed my husband.
No, ma'am. No. He was just boasting. Your husband's still alive. Don't let him be hard on me. Don't let him be... They're coming now. They're coming.
They heard the signal. They heard the horn.
Speak up for me, ma'am. Speak up for me. I've done you no harm.
All right. Do this for me, then. Get Bowman's body out of my sight. Get him out of here.
I'll do it, ma'am. I'll do it.
Nancy? Are you here, Nancy?
Ben. Oh, Ben.
Nancy.
Oh, Ben, it's been so long. So long.
I tried to get back here. I wanted so to get back.
He said he'd killed you, Ben. But I never believed it. Never.
Me killed? Do I look it?
The sergeant said you were all right.
Sergeant Elbrus, where is he?
In the wood box.
I was. Under the wood box. Then I spent the night in drunken, dissolute Tory company. The big lummox snored all night. I had to fight my way out.
Man, am I hungry.
Cliff, I'm sure my wife here can provide us all with breakfast. How about it, Nancy?
It's on the fire, Ben, in the kitchen. Suki, Morgan, come help your mother.
Help me again, children. With breakfast. Come on.
Oh, man, the heart was a false square woman. Down here in Georgia, we honor her name. In to Boone and kin to Morgan. She honors Georgia with her everlasting fame. Oh, breakfast at Nancy's, sun up at Nancy's, oh, cake and honeycomb and fresh pumpkin pie. Hot as the sun beat, cool as the moonbeam, light as the laughter that gleams in her eye. So here's to Nancy Hart.
Thanks to Susan Hayward and the Cavalcade Players for tonight's story, Breakfast at Nancy's. Next week, the DuPont Cavalcade will present The Devil's Staircase, the exciting story of the weird mystery buried deep within the Louisiana swamplands. Our star, Ray Milland. Be sure to listen. Tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, Breakfast at Nancy's, was written by George H. Faulkner and based on material from the book The Savannah by Thomas L. Stokes, a volume in the Rivers of America series published by Reinhardt and Company. The music for Cavalcade was composed by Arden Cornwell, conducted by Donald Voorhees. The program was directed by John Zoller. Featured in the cast with Susan Hayward as Nancy, you heard Stutz Cutworth as Bowman and Gordon Dilworth as the folk singer. Miss Hayward is currently starring in the 20th Century Fox production, With a Song in My Heart. This is Cy Harris speaking.
Ladies and gentlemen, at a time when disaster strikes the country, as it so recently did in the southern states, the Red Cross works day and night to help those in need. Do your part by giving to the Red Cross Fund. Don't forget next week, our star, Ray Milland. The DuPont Cavalcade of America comes to you from the Belasco Theater in New York and is sponsored by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware, makers of better things for better living through chemistry.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, the hottest guy in the world. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. The chances are you never hear of a citizen who is called Big Jules. But the police of 48 states and outlying territories are more than somewhat familiar with him. Now, this is a story about him, a gendarme named Johnny Brannigan, and a doll named Kitty Clancy. Also, there is a genuine gorilla named Bongo mixed up in the story, which may seem more than a little unusual. And it is. And I will tell you the story in a minute.
Now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Hottest Guy in the World.
Well, as they say in books, to set the scene for this story, I have got to go back maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It seems that Big Jules does something at which the state of New York is very mad. In fact, the state sees fit to present Big Jules with a 5-year layoff at the citizen's expense. Well, he serves the time, and the day comes when he sees the bars closed behind him instead of in front of him. But there is somebody waiting for him.
Hello, Jules.
Well, well, well. If it ain't Johnny Brannigan.
That's right.
Copper.
Uh-huh. Copper.
I figure by now you ought to be a general, Brannigan.
I'll take my time. You like it in there?
Fine. Just fine. Smells different out here.
Uh-huh.
What's on your mind, Brannigan?
You.
Get it off.
What are you going to do?
When?
Now.
Hold it a minute, Brannigan.
You ain't changed much. Neither have you.
That's right.
Maybe you should.
I like me the way I am.
I don't.
Ask you to?
Look, Jules, because we were kids together,
Skip it, Brannigan.
I didn't finish.
I know. I know the speech. I'll finish it for you. Because we were kids together and were pushed around on the same block, you're going to give me advice.
I don't like you enough to give you advice. It wouldn't go through your skull anyway. So this is a warning.
I don't want that either.
The first time you get out of line is too bad.
Tough copper.
Tough con.
We're even. So long.
As you are able to see, there is little love lost between Johnny and Jules. Now, as soon as Jules hits the big town, he makes a few calls. And one of these calls is at the home of a doll named Kitty Clancy, about whom Jules is more than somewhat fond. And when he sees her, the scene is as follows.
I'm glad to see you, Jules.
I'm glad to see you, Kitty.
Will you sit down?
Yeah, thanks.
You look well.
I am. You?
Oh, just fine.
Hey. We got a great conversation going here, huh?
Well, there doesn't seem much to talk about, does there?
I could give you the story of my life for the last 5 years.
I'm sorry, Jules.
Forget it. You've been doing all right?
Yes. Have you seen your mother?
I will.
You should have seen her first.
Yeah, I guess so. Kitty.
What?
How come you didn't once come to see me? You know, even in Sing Sing, they allow visitors.
I was very busy, Jules. So awful busy. My kid brother going to school. He's got no one else but me.
Oh, sure. That's all right.
I was just going to have some tea.
No, thanks. I gotta be running along. Just dropped in to give you a nod.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, so am I. Gives me a better idea how I stand.
What do you mean?
I gotta draw pictures. The minute you opened the door for me, the temperature dropped 100 degrees. Got real chilly.
I didn't mean to make you feel that way, Jules. It's just that...
Give me a look, Kitty. That's it. Don't worry, I ain't gonna be a movie con. You know, the guy gets out, he sees a doll, she cries all over him. He says he's going straight, and the next thing they got 10 kids and he's running for mayor.
There's something I want to tell you, Jules. Something real important.
Nothing's important, Kitty. Nothing.
But this...
So long.
So Jules walks away from Miss Kitty Clancy. Then he makes another call. This one is to his mother, who lives over in 49th. And what goes on there is this.
Ain't you hungry, Jules?
Oh, sure, Mom, sure. Real hungry.
You're not eating?
No, I'm just taking my time. I like to smell the food first.
Oh.
How long you been living here?
5 years.
Oh.
It's all right. It's not big, but then I don't need much room.
No, I guess not.
You didn't eat a bite.
I guess I wasn't so hungry. It's all right, I open the window.
Sure it is, Jules.
I'd like to be able to open the window. You know, you never think of something like that when you can do it. But when you can't, it gets important. I can stand here and open this window and look out on the street. I can open a window. Mom. Mom.
Jules.
What are you crying for?
I don't know.
I'm back, ain't I?
Yes.
Or am I?
What do you mean?
I ain't back. Not all of me. I guess I left a couple of pieces behind at Sing Sing.
I tried not to cry, Jules.
Well, then don't. Cut it out, you hear? Cut it out.
All right.
Not as much right coming back as this. Oh, I don't know.
Where are you going?
Out.
Where?
I don't know. Someplace people don't know there's pieces of me missing.
Do you have to?
Yeah, I guess I do.
You're mad at me?
Sure. Real mad. Here. Take this.
You'll need that.
No. Look, you got insurance money, ain't you?
Yes, why?
I just wanted to know you'll be okay. So long.
That is the last anybody sees of Big Jules. But we hear about him, and what we hear is not so good. Then 3 years go by, and one night I am sitting in my hotel room, and I hear a knocking on my door. Okay, come on in. Yeah? What can I do for you, and who are you?
Don't you ever get tired of this room, Broadway?
I never get tired of anything I like. And as far as I am concerned, the conversation is over. Goodbye.
I just got here. Invite me to sit down.
I know that voice.
You also know the guy that goes with it. Don't let the dark glasses fool you, Broadway.
Jules. Holy mackerel, it's Big Jules.
How are you, Broadway?
5 minutes ago, fine. Now very sick.
Don't worry. Nobody saw me come up here. Nobody even saw me get into town.
Jules, you are the hottest guy in the world.
Famous. Famous like anything.
Do you know that any gendarme in town would give his right arm to put a collar on you?
Sure.
But you walk in broad daylight like you expect a welcome from the mayor.
I always do the unexpected, Broadway.
You do? Jules, what if anybody...
Nobody did. Take it easy.
I hear lots of things about you, Jules.
Sure. I'm the only guy in the world can be five places at once, according to the coppers.
How long are you planning to stay?
In your room or in town?
First in my room, then in town.
Not long, either way. How's Johnny Brennigan?
Fine. But of course, I do not make a habit of being in company with gendarmes.
That's right. Stay clean. Mind if I take off my coat?
That means you are going to stay?
Just a couple of minutes. I hear my mother is sick.
Yeah, I hear it too.
I'd like to see her.
You cannot.
Why not?
Well, you... Jules, there are a million citizens in this town who would jump at the chance to put the finger on you, just to get in good with the gendarmes.
I know. That's why I came to you, Broadway. You're the only guy along the stem a guy can trust.
Thanks.
It's nothing.
But if the gendarmes ask me questions...
I know. You'd have to tell them I was here. What if they don't ask?
Put me on the spot, Jules.
Sure. Tell you what. I'll stay here a little bit and talk. And give me an hour and you can phone Brennigan that you saw me. You gotta stay clean.
What would you like to talk about?
Oh, this and that.
I see you are carrying what looks like two pistolas.
So?
If you are picked up carrying them rods, there is a thing called the Sullivan Law, which is very strict.
So I won't get picked up. And one guy Johnny Brennigan would like to see. Maybe I'd like to see Johnny Brennigan.
You have it in for him?
Never mind. Let you and me talk, huh? And Broadway. Relax.
Relax, he says. There I am sitting with the hottest guy in the world. Even if he only does half of what they say, he is still better than 6-5 over anybody else. He talks. And any minute, I'm expecting the gendarmes to walk in and then end two careers. I do not pay much attention to what he says until I hear...
Did you ever shoot a rat, Broadway?
Huh? What'd you say?
I said ever shoot a rat.
I never shoot anything.
You've been listening to me?
Oh, sure, Joe, sure.
Okay. Well, I had to hide out in Canada because there was a bum rap against me. But a guy like me can't argue.
I can understand that. You know what time it is?
Why? You going someplace?
I do not know. Am I?
Relax. Well, as I was saying, I hid out in an old warehouse for 2 solid weeks. All I had for company was rats.
That is very lonely.
Yeah. But you know what? I got so I could knock off one of the ugly nibblers all the way across the big room. Big as a barn it was.
Does nobody hear the shots?
No. The place is way out in the sticks. You know, I got so I could call my shots on those rats. I knew just where the slug would hit.
Yeah.
You You don't seem interested.
Oh, sure, sure I am.
Well, when I got tired of that, I did some reading.
You do some reading?
Yeah. There was a case full of books. All on medicine, surgery, things like that.
Yeah, well, those are handy things to know, if you are a doctor.
You're wrong, Broadway. I learned a lot. I bet I learned almost as much in those 2 weeks as a lot of guys learn in 2 years.
Sure, but what good does it do you?
Who knows? Well, thanks for letting me stay a while, Broadway. I gotta be going now.
Oh, must you? I mean, thanks for dropping in.
Hey, you can see Madison Square Garden from this window.
Jules, do you have to stand in the window?
What's going on in the garden?
They're moving the circus in.
Circus? Circus? You know, I haven't seen a circus since I was a kid. Broadway, come here.
What do you want, Jules?
Let's you and me mosey over there and watch him unload the animals, huh?
You and me? Me?
Come on. With my dark glasses and dyed hair, nobody will ever know me.
Jules, please.
I promise you, Broadway, if anything starts to happen, I'll step away from you. Fast.
If anything starts to happen, I will fall away from you. Real fast.
Come on, get on your coat. I want company.
Of all days for me to be home, I have to pick this one.
Relax.
Look, at least leave them rods here. No, not here. Hide them out in the hall. Anything.
I'd catch cold without them. Get on your coat, Broadway. You and I are going to watch him unload the animals. That ought to be a lot of fun.
I think I will never know what fun is anymore. Well, I go with Big Jules. Not because I want to, but because I do not wish to seem impolite and offend a guy of his temperament. However, before the afternoon is over, I am glad I go along, because I see something I almost do not believe, even though I do see it. And what it is, I will tell you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Hottest Guy in the World.
Well, like I say, there is no other way but that I go with Big Jules, which is a little like holding hands with a guy in the electric chair. But Big Jules does not seem worried, because as he says when we are walking up the street...
See? What'd I tell you, Broadway? Lots of coppers around, but not one takes a second look at me.
I am very glad of this.
Oh, it's good to be back.
But you are not planning to make a real long stay of it.
No. Just to see my mother, then...
Then what, Jules?
Then? Who knows? Guy like me doesn't call the shots for himself.
Jules, I want you to tell me something.
Yeah? What?
When I last see you 3 years ago, you are different. Or maybe you are different now.
How?
Well, I do not know. Maybe it is the way you talk.
Me and my education, huh? I did a lot of reading, Broadway.
Oh, yeah, you tell me. Those medical books.
Yeah, those just got me started. Besides, a library is no place a copper would ever think of looking for Big Jules. And speaking of coppers, I want to try something.
Huh? What?
See that blue coat over there?
Oh, yeah. Here, let us make a slight detour.
No. Come on.
Jules, what are you going to do?
Watch. Excuse me, officer.
Yes, sir.
Is that Madison Square Garden up ahead?
That it is, sir.
Thank you, officer.
Not at all, sir. You're welcome.
Oh, I have got to sit down. Maybe even lay down.
Yeah, you feel better? Nobody recognizes me.
Yeah, but what about Johnny Brannigan? You think you can fool him?
Maybe I can. Maybe I can't. That is something I've got to wait to see.
Well, I feel just a little better when we walk, because nobody takes a second look at Big Jules. But I am still worried, because under Jules's coat are them 2.45s, and his hand is never far from where he can make a quick grab in case he has to. And if I know Big Jules, he will grab first and ask later. Then we get in front of Madison Square Garden, where they are unloading the circus.
A circus. Maybe I'll stay around long enough to see a performance.
You are taking too many chances, Jules.
I always did.
Look, animals.
Yeah.
I do not like to see anything caged up.
Don't be a sap, Broadway. Those animals are a lot better off than we are.
Huh?
Don't believe all that tripe you hear about animals being unhappy in cages. What do they got to lose? They get fed, they keep warm.
But they are not free.
That's a mistake, Broadway. That tiger, for instance. Think he'd be free in the jungle? Every minute he'd be fighting for food. Now, you and me, Broadway, we're in the jungle. Especially me.
Yeah, well, I will think that over. Hey, look at the big monk.
A gorilla.
That is quite a large-sized monk.
Think he'd hurt you if he got out of that cage?
I would not like to argue the point with him.
Well, he wouldn't. Gorillas are naturally gentle animals. Vegetarians. But they've got enormous strength. And they're smart.
He would not like Mindy's.
Name's Bongo. Come on, Broadway, let's walk out.
How far? And where to?
I'll leave you at the corner. Come on.
Well, it is nice seeing you again, Jules.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me. The only guy I can trust in this jungle.
Hey, what is that?
Wait.
Something is happening back there at the guard.
Broadway, look.
Jules, do you see what I see?
Bongo, the gorilla, out of his cage, loose.
And there he is. That big monk gets out when the latch on his cage is jarred loose. And no matter what Jules says about gorillas being gentle, this one does not look like he is willing to let bygones be bygones. We push our way back, and the scene is as follows.
Look at the gorilla climb up the marquee.
Say, what is he carrying? Looks like a bundle.
I don't know.
Please, everyone, stand back. Don't get him excited. He'll be all right. Mike, Larry, hurry up with the nets.
They expect to get him with nets. He'll be halfway up the building before they get to him.
Jules! Look what he is carrying.
Broadway, a baby. He's got a baby in his arms.
I've never seen anything like this before.
Bongo! Hey, Bongo, put it down!
Hey, mister.
Put it down!
Mister, how come he's got the kid?
Oh, what? Please, please, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Mike, Larry, get the nets up this side of the marquee. Hurry it up.
You better not get him excited with those nets, mister. You better go up and out one of the windows.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Hey, Mike. Take the nets up another story and don't let him see him.
Mister, where'd he get that kid?
He grabbed it. I raised him from a baby and he was crazy about a rubber dolly head.
How do you like that? The big monk reverts to his childhood.
Jules, if he drops that baby, that will be all.
As long as they don't excite him, he'll hold on.
No! No, officer, please, don't shoot! Don't shoot! Give us a chance to get him before you shoot!
You better do it quick, mister. Looks like he's getting ready for a little climb.
What is the matter, Jules?
Look.
Where?
That's Kitty. Kitty Clancy.
So what?
Was she crying about it? Broadway, come with me. Let me through here, will you? Come on, move.
Hey,
let me through,
pushing?
I said. Let me through.
Don't
push me.
Let me through here.
Protecting.
Kitty.
Jules.
Holy smoke. Jules, she knows you. You got to get out of here.
Hello, Kitty.
Oh, my baby. My baby.
Yours. Yours.
But do something, Jules. Please do something.
Your baby, Kitty. Yours?
Yes.
Hey, lady. We're doing everything we can.
Oh, you're not. You're not doing anything.
Hey, you. If that monk sees the net your boy's got, he'll drop that baby.
What else can I
do? This crowd's not helping any.
But, Jules, would you do something?
Me? Why?
Why? Because it's my baby.
I know that.
Oh, I see you know that. Well, I guess everything I heard about you is true.
Everything. Why not?
Get away from me. Get away, do you hear me? Get away.
Oh, Jules, you got to get out of here. There are more gendarmes here now than I think there are in the whole city.
Yeah. Look, Broadway, if that gorilla sees those nets, he'll drop that kid.
There is nothing you can do.
He's standing on the edge of the marquee. One slug right between the eyes will do it.
What? If you pull a rod here, you will be cooked.
One right between the eyes. I think I can do it. It's a fair shot from here. Yeah, it'd have to be good.
Jules, look around you. Look around. There are a million coppers with guns, and they are afraid to shoot because they are afraid they will hit the kid.
In that warehouse in Canada, I got pretty good. I could put a slug right between the eyes of a rat, all the way across the big room.
Jules, even if you do hit the monk, he'll drop the kid down on the pavement.
No, he won't.
He will, I tell you.
No, a slug between the eyes will bring on what is called a defensive reflex.
I do not know what you are talking about.
You see, there's a split second before the slug kills him. A split second when the body reflexes tend to move back, away from the painful stimulus. Broadway, he'll fall backward, and the kid will only drop a foot or two on top of the marquee.
You talk like a doctor.
Yeah, I read a lot. Comes in handy. Okay.
It's all right. It's all right. The baby's not hurt. It's all right.
All right, Broadway, let's move out.
Nice shot, Jules. Very nice shot.
Johnny Brannigan.
Don't reach for it, Jules. You're covered like a bookie's bet.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah.
So it looks like the end for Big Jules. A guy who could do a fade if he does not stop to save Kitty's baby. But that is not the end of the story. Not by a long shot. And what that end is, I will tell you in a minute. So, that is what happens. Big Jules makes the shot and saves the baby. But he also lets 9 million gendarmes know that he is in town and packing a rod, including Johnny Brannigan. For a couple of seconds, which seemed like several weeks, Johnny and Jules stare at each other. The rest of the cops are looking funny at Jules. And then Johnny says as follows.
You're a pretty smart guy, Jules.
Very. Like a first-class dope. Okay, what goes, Brannigan?
Come on. You too, Broadway.
Me? Why?
Shut up and come on. Walk in front of me, Jules. I'll be more comfortable.
I got news for you, Brannigan. I never shot anybody in the back. Even a rat.
I'll take your word for it. But walk in front.
All right, get out of the way. Come on, folks, move aside.
Jules, I warn you, you are now cooked like a short order egg.
Sure, sunny side up. It's what I get for having a soft side to my character.
All right, Jules, Broadway. In the car, fast.
Johnny, why do you take me along?
For the ride. Get in. Okay, Eddie, move out. The rods, Jules. Hand them over.
Sure. I can get more.
I know. Now, I guess you want to see your mother, huh, Jules?
Why ask that?
Do you or don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Eddie, 49th near 8th. I'll tell you where to stop.
Been keeping tabs, huh, Brannigan?
Smart guy. I've had a tail on you personally ever since you hit town. Did you think you were fooling anybody with that dyed hair and dark glasses?
What a smart copper.
Yeah. Okay, Jules, you see your mother, then get on the first thing that moves out of New York.
Out of New York? Johnny, what are you saying?
He's giving me a break, Broadway. Is that right, Brannigan?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But I do not understand.
I do.
That was my kid you saved.
Your kid? You and Kitty?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, I know it.
What?
I said I knew it.
How?
Kid looked exactly like you. In fact, there's a great resemblance.
Go on.
But you're a very lucky guy, Johnny Brannigan. A very lucky guy.
Meaning what?
Well, for a minute back there, I almost made a terrible mistake. I almost sent that slug the wrong way. Because it was very hard to tell the gorilla and your baby apart.
And so ends the famous story, The Hottest Guy in the World. Listen in again next week for The Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
That's it for the Relic Radio Show for this week. If you want to find more from Cavalcade of America, the Damon Runyon Theater, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, thousands of other old-time radio shows, and our Shoutcast stream, just visit the website, relicradio.com. Visit donate.relicradio.com if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. Or give that link a click while you're on the website. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.